know, if you wrote a bash script, you'd probably interact with this fairly easily. And that's it. So another simple tool that adheres to that kind of philosophy. So we'll let that encode a few. And then let's say, and again, just as we have a uniform interface into that, so now you can see we have some flag files in there. Likewise now, let's say we want to do some lossy, some lossy compression on this to get something that's more suited towards portable devices. And then we can do lame to get an MP3. I want to illustrate something here. I'm glossing over the fact that, flat files, these are these lossless files, they're really big, but they're archival, so you don't lose any music quality off your CD. What we're doing now is we're creating an MP3, which is lossy. It's a much smaller file, but it doesn't lose much quality, but it does lose quality. So if you were to decompress this MP3 and then recompress it again, you would lose even more quality. I think there was a YouTube video that was posted not too long ago. I wish I had a reference to it, but it's basically a guy took a video and he compressed it using lossy compression, and then he took it and compressed it again using lossy compression. He did that several hundred times, and at the end, he ended up with something that didn't resemble the original video at all. It was just a bunch of blocks. So lossy compression is something you can't undo. However, it makes the file smaller and still acceptable for portable needs. Alright, so we've done both of those. Another thing that I wanted, so you see now, if you look at the kinetic harvest here, we have flat, we have wave, and we have MP3. And this was all really simple command line tools. Another thing I want to illustrate is, you see wave.mp3. So we converted from wave to MP3 using lame. And now, using the same principle of being able to pipe different things, we can take a FLAC file as well. I guess we can. Never mind. Command line switch.
Ogg does.
Yeah, okay, so let's take a look at Ogg encode. We'll do that for Corvus, FLAC. Should work with Wave as well. So yeah, it depends on the tool. I think Wave, there's a special flag, but I believe Wave that Lane will support FLAC completely.
So
it's just not built in at that point. By the way, this is the thing that we get hit on the hardest. In Linux and working with these kinds of tools, I think these tools are incredibly powerful, they're incredibly cool, and I think when we spend a little bit of time to learn them, we love them and we don't want to use anything else. The problem is, when we give them to other users, we get hung up on stuff like this. I'm not sure, I don't have a good solution for this. We don't want to build in support for everything, of course, and we want to keep things customizable, but this is always going to be a limitation. And this is always going to be where people say, yeah, look, it doesn't work. Well, it does work, you just have to tweak it a little bit. Not for everyone. Alright, so let's take a look. So now we have all these different music formats. We have Ogg, Wave, MP3, FLAC, and it was all really easy, really straightforward, and fairly uniform. And something that we could script. so, moving on. In this case, these are kind of labeled, but before when we extracted our files using the Ripper, they didn't have any nice tags or any kind of meta information on them. So our next task that we would like to do is tag. Tagging. So for tagging, there's this interesting, there's a couple of approaches to it. There's still the command line approach. Which is available to us. If we go in here and read, there's things like MetaFLAC, which will give us metadata on FLAC files and allow us to. Of course, another nice thing about all of our tools is we have man here.
Put metaflag.
Did
you get metaflag? Yes. Flag?
Oh, did. Huh? Thank you.
There it is. Show me five. Keep your sample. And all tags.
Yeah, I think list looks right. Let's try that. Alright, I'm not going to dig around on this, but everybody's read the XKCD. Did people read XKCD here?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that comic where he's like, yeah, Linux is great, you can do anything you want with it, and then his girlfriend comes over and spends like a half hour trying to figure out how to move the mouse pointer so that the screensaver doesn't start by the time she's left. So, don't leave. So moving on, so there's Metaflack, then there's for Aug, and MP3, I think there's ID3, probably the one I installed. So there are these command line simple tools to allow you to manipulate the metadata. But what I wanted to focus on and talk about today is another place where the simplicity and the archway can exist. It doesn't just have to exist on the command line. You can also build it into things like web services. Web services are really popular right now, and the archway has, for example, the Arch Linux website also embodies the archway in a way. There's, you know, we broke up all of our functionality, our forms are broken out, our user repository is broken out. Everything's very simple. We have an SVN repository that does its thing and it does it well. It keeps, you know, track of the history of all of our package builds and things like that. And it embodies this principle of these small, simple things interacting together to create the entire Arch Portal website, which lets you access and figure out how to administer your operating system as a whole. Likewise, for tagging, there's this service called Music Brains. Music Brains is a web database of tags for all known music, and it's maintained by the community. Community being anybody is completely open, everything's under the public domain license. And the idea was basically everybody's tagging their own music, why don't we just create universal identifiers and tag them collectively as a group? So let me show you the website for that. So this is the website, and basically you can go through here, and if you use their web interface, you can search for an artist, like for example the CD that I'm working with today is by Module. It's a really cool little technology. So here's the album that we're working with, and this is the particular release that we want to look at. So you can go through the website, and you can basically find almost any known artist that's released a CD, and if you can't, you can add to the database. So what we get in the end is we get this collective effort to create a well-organized database of tags, which is great. But then you're saying, well, now you're centralizing all of this, and what if I want to change my tags, or what if I don't like the official way things are being tagged? You can still get around that. So you don't have to use this, but what it does is it creates a nice open way for people to collaborate on tag editing and to simplify things for them. So the point that I want to make here is that this can be simplified as well. So they have these URLs. They expose all of this as a service through their website. You can run, you can even download and run the Postgres database list. They do daily dumps, so you can get all this information and, you know, run it. Or they also have a copy of their server as well that you can download and run completely open, and you're not restricted to using the Music Brains website for this. But if you want, you can also. There you go. So you can do stuff like this. You can hit their server with like wget, and you can pull down XML track data listings. Very easy. This exemplifies that last point in the Unix way, which is everything should have a text interface. A little bit more well structured. a bash script or Python script to parse this, or more conveniently, Perl has XPath, which will let you, you know, query over this stuff with XPath. So why is this cool? This is kind of complicated. Why do we care about this? Because we can write tools that interface with this and do complicated things like tagging our fresh MP3s by querying this simple service. So the fact that we do when we use simple tools, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can only do simple things. We can extend them and do very complicated things by interacting with other simple services such as Music Brains. They're also just for those of us who are lazy and impatient. I'm just going to show this off real quick. They also have a GUI tagger, which is pretty nice, so you can add a folder of MP3s. My CD. You can add that in. If you do a lookup on that. Oh, no, there it is. Okay, so all you do is you click that and it is able to automatically fingerprint those things and tag them. You can just drag this in. You know, that's number three, or we can try to automatically tag. It figures it out on its own. So it's very cool, really useful, really quick way to tag stuff. And what's nice about this is it focuses on one thing. It focuses on tagging only. And it does it in a way that allows you to build either this nice GUI to attach to it and to use those tagging services, or you can access their web services using a bash script and using things like Metaflack or whatever the OOG and the MP3 is for tagging, and do your own thing. And this embodies that kind of philosophy, which is great. So, the point of that being is we can do really interesting things even with simple tools. The next thing we probably want to do is play our music. And the traditional way to do that, or the easiest way to do that on command line is... is the stuff that we've extracted here, right? We want to play it. We want to play a song, this is the simplest way to do it. Okay? You guys probably can't hear it, but it's playing here. So.
Do you have a speaker? Oh, but there's some microphone that's working. Do we want to hear it? Good music.
Can you guys even hear it?
That is coming out over there now. We got
it. Must be a volume control.
There's a volume up and volume down on the panel.
Where on the panel? Oh, here. Yeah. This is from a really cool little Brick Breaker game that has a really awesome soundtrack with this guy named Module Review. Anyways, so there we go, we're playing music. And it's simple, and it's text-based, and we can interact with this thing. Right? So we can script this, we can interact with it. We can write a bash script that randomizes music shuffling and does all these things. And we have the universal interface to playing our music. Awesome. So, but there's also another thing. I get a little bit fancier. This also kind of embodies that simple and yet able to do complicated things kind of model. So iTunes, it can stream, it can share, it can do all these magical things. We can do that too, and we can do it from the command line. There's this thing called MPD. It's the music player daemon. What it does is, if you look, there's a couple boxes here. You can't read it, but I'll walk you through this. So this box right here represents the music player daemon and its responsibilities. And what it does is it goes through your directory of music. It builds up a list of those files. And then simply it plays them and it shoves them out using some kind of output. So you point it at an output. Whether that output is some speakers, the network, your cat, whatever. You point it at that, and the music will come out of that device. So again, it embodies that simple principle where it does one thing and does it very well. It takes a list of music and it outputs it to something. And on as far as interacting with it, it takes input into as far as like how do you want to play it, skip it, or whatever. It takes that as input and then it dumps it as output into some speaker device. So again, you have this kind of nice flow through. And it remains simple. And one of the things, if you go to the MPE website, how are we doing on time? If you go to the MPE website and you look at their features list, and this is where you would think, okay, they're going to tout all these great features, right? You're going to tell me how we can cook my salad, and no, you don't cook salad, but. But it could. You could in theory. Sorry, there's a little bit. Oh, here it is. As you can see, I just stole their graphic. Okay, so they talk about what is MPE? Well, it's a server that plays music. Okay, great. It's a queue and control for your music. Okay, excellent. And it's a music file decoder. Or it can take an HTTP input stream. Great! So that sounds like a nice basic feature set, but what else? Well, it's not an album card protocol. It's not any of these things. All it is it takes in a command like play a file, and it dumps it to some device. Great. Because what that allows us to do is it allows us to do very fun things like dumping it on the network and piping it through to, for example, like an Icecast or a Pulse audio client, and then shoving it out across the network. And we get this all, or interacting with other systems. For example, you can throw it in your car and point it at your dad, etc., etc. The other thing is it removes the client from the actual task of having to play the music. And it also removes the client from having to be on the actual PC. And the way to. Let's open up the client here. So, we can start up a nice little bare bones client.
The only true client is NC.
That's true, and you could. You could connect through NC and feed it commands because it's text based, so text based protocol, right?
The only true client is cat.
Yes. And you guys are joking, but seriously, that's what's awesome about this is that we can use cat to talk or to dump these things, and we can use NC to talk to these things.
You need NC if you got cat in the dashboard with TCP support.
Okay, so here it is. Here's just kind of a view that a client has on MPD. You can browse it like a file system, it has a playlist. And this is all it does. It just manages that playlist and then dumps those files. Just something on your PC, this will be flexible enough to do it for you. So, wrapping up, what's on the windows? Okay, so that's MPD. Now, we talked about tagging, we talked about MPD. Now, what if I want to visualize this stuff? Well, you can. You can just connect up to whatever your audio output source is, and you can run something like Project M. I haven't personally played with this yet, so if anybody has... Has anybody played with this?
Yeah.
Yes? How is it?
Still pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. Okay, so basically you can get the visualizations that those other clients provide for you as well. So you just hook this up to something like MPD or even MPlayer or your ALSTA output, and there you go, you get visualizations. And what's cool is you can run this across the network again, so you can run these on other machines, other boxes. You can visualize on your TV while your jukebox is playing somewhere else. This is all possible because, again, all these things are talking in a universal manner. So we've covered all of these things, covered visualization, we've covered tagging. What about sharing music? Well, there's this little script that I found. It's really cool. It's part of, it's being packaged in Arch now too. It's called Wolf. I don't know if any of you have used it. It's kind of fun. I just wanted to share this little tip with you. So if you go and you have some music and you want to share it with a friend, share with a friend, you go to, so we want to share this new CD with our friend because we think it's really cool. All you have to do is go Woof, and the what you want to share, and boom, it's serving. Woof does one thing, it does one thing well, it shares files. So if somebody hits that URL, who did that? Somebody's hacking. So see, somebody can connect to it and turn on some music. I was really hoping somebody would do that. Thank you. And now you can see here somebody is. I knew you guys were cool. So if you see here somebody just connected and they're downloading that whole album. So fantastic, right? That's it, and it's simple, it's effective, it does one thing well, we connect these things together, and what we've done now is we've done everything that iTunes does. You have to put a password on that. I'm going to fight here over. We've done everything that iTunes and these other big standalone monster packages have done. We're capable of doing all of it, but we're capable of customizing it to our heart's content. We're capable of keeping the data open through like music brains tagging. We're capable of doing really powerful things and managing very large collections without all the bloat, without all the unnecessary functionality that we don't want. And this is exactly what Arch Linux is as well. It embodies this. Yes, the interface isn't much to look at, but the amount of power and the amount of flexibility that we get out of it is immeasurable. And I think it's you're only limited by what you want to do. Unlike with something like iTunes or other OSs like Ubuntu, where you're a little bit more constrained about how your system.